Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I've been saying, look, you know, the reality is I'm hoping that once we get to the other side of the election, that there is some bit of coming back to the middle of the road and being able to actually have conversations about, you know, what kind of policies we want to move on. Right now, you can't talk policy with anyone. It's cult time. It's my guy. Against your guy. Or at least my Trump supporter friends tell me that's how it is. Personally, I would like good policy. I'd like health care for all. I'd like good laws for labor. I'd like to save the planet. I'd like a decent environment. Some things that, you know, I think big picture stuff. Maybe that's just me. I'm here to share some thoughts on, well, ticking down to the final days here towards Election Day. I've asked our good friend David Yankovich to come talk with us, digital strategist extraordinaire and a good friend of the program. David, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Good seeing you.
So let's start with the big news. Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court, going to show up to work, I guess, tomorrow. Now a 6-3 radical, right-leaning Supreme Court.
Well, you know what? I hope that it was worth it to them, because they just lost themselves an entire generation of elected officials here. You're probably not going to see another Republican president after this for another 15, 20 years. They just totally screwed themselves. And everything else is going to be at stake. So if you're mad out there, if you're really angry and you want to do something, you better show up and vote, because this is the problem. Everybody out there yelling at the Senate and the Democrats out there for not doing enough or not fighting enough in this and everything else, you know, you're wrong. That your problem is that we didn't give them enough power. We right. haven't voted enough leaders in to be able to fight back against this stuff. So the positive here is, in about 8 days, you can really make your voice heard if you want to. If you want to show up and do something, otherwise, shut the hell up.
Yeah,
that's what I got for you tonight.
No, a lot of states have early voting. You should have had your ballot hand put in, hand marked paper ballot in the box. We have the ability to do that, or show up on Election Day and vote. To me, it's that simple. Now, I do have some problems, though. Now that you have so many people who've done the mail-in ballot, we've got so many of those early voting ballots, we now have a Supreme Court that I don't know that I have great confidence that they're going to allow them to be counted.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a really interesting election already, but this is why I keep telling everybody, show up in numbers that they can't manipulate. Show up in numbers that they can't to try to steal this election. You know they're going to try to do it. The only way that they're not going to be able to steal this election is if you show up in numbers that we've never seen before.
Right.
Yeah, you know, right now we had 4 million 17-year-olds turned 18 before this election. If they show up, doesn't matter. They can throw out 25% of the ballots all day long they want to. I mean, yeah, people's votes aren't getting counted and that's not okay. But on the other side of it, you know, they can't manipulate these numbers. And so show up. That's all it comes down to. And vote, bring your friends and do this. Your righteous anger is going to write the history of this. You know, if you don't show up and Donald Trump wins, then they're going to be able to say in this that it's the Democrats' fault and that Trump, you know, had a landmark behind or a landslide and a movement and there was a silent majority. And that's what happened in this election. Or if the Democrats come out and sweep everything, it's going to be a referendum on every single thing that Trump has done. And it's going to be a major referendum on this. So history right now is in the balance of the way that this is going to be reported on, the way that it's going to be studied, the autopsies that are going to come out after this election's over. It's all in the balance in this second. You actually are living in the front pages of history right now. So are you going to show up and are you going to vote and are you going to actually make this happen? Or are you going to sit home and do the same thing we did in 2016, give Trump 4 more years, which is going to turn into 8 more years and then 12 more years or whatever? I have confidence in the people and the voters of this country that they're actually going to turn up and be this mad about it. From what I'm hearing right now, I mean, it's completely, you know, indignant and pissed. And you should be. You should be mad. You should be mad that the government broke down. You should be mad that we're not showing up and we're not doing this stuff for you. On the other hand, it's your fault, too. You need to show up yourselves and you need to vote. You need to get these people out of office. You need to get good Democrats in there. And if you're not happy with the Democrats that are in there, then vote for somebody else. That's how this works. It's democracy.
No, if they're not working for you, throw them out.
But for now.
The thing that gets me is I was watching Mitch McConnell do his little song and dance before they confirmed Barrett. And he hit on the point that you hit on. It's about power. We had the power of the Senate. They voted for us. We had the levers, and we're using them. And now he turned to the Democrats and said, "You do the same thing." And I go, "No, they wouldn't. But I'm hoping that they will. And this is that moment where I hope, I'm hoping if you give them the Senate, that they learn how to drive the steamroller and they actually do, instead of just admiring how nice it looks in the driveway.
I mean, to your point there, Democrats wouldn't do that. We didn't do that with the ACA. As a matter of fact, we invited the Republicans to come and negotiate it with us. We worked with them. We brought them into the rooms. We brought them into meetings. We offered every piece of help we can possibly get to get this done, because that's what Democrats have done. At this point now, though, what the Democrats don't understand a lot of the time is that this is actually a war. This is information war. This is power war. The Republicans have declared it. They see this as that. This is what we have to think of this as, because ideologically in the United States of America right now, we have a choice between good or not good, good or evil, really. And these policies that are going to come out and what the Republicans are going to do with the Supreme Court with a 6-3 win on this is going to be devastating. But you have a chance to fix it. You have a chance to turn out. You have a chance to vote. And that's where we're at right now. And you're 100% right, Rick. I mean, and I hope that the Democrats, when they get this power, they can take this and do good for the world again. But here's the thing. Everybody out there who's listening to this, but everybody in the country, we have a chance right now to actually change the entire history of the United States and the way things are going as well. You know, this isn't just any other election. Like, we actually could take back power and then continuously take back power if we stay engaged and fighting back, and we can do exactly the same thing that the Republicans have done, but for a better America and a better world. You know, get back into the Paris Climate Agreement, get back into, you know, we have to be thinking about, me and Rick, you know, we've talked about this privately offline and on the show. AI is coming in 10 years. You know, we're gonna have 40% of the workforce gone. You know, we need to be thinking about these bigger picture issues and doing everything else. So we have actually a chance to really make America great again. If you actually wanna do that, you need to vote the Orange Menace out of office right the hell now. And really rebuke exactly what the Republican power swipe has been here, and tell them, like, this is not what we do in the United States of America. We're not Russia. We're not North Korea. But they think we are.
Yeah, you know, I happened to watch Trump's rally from the eastern part of Pennsylvania today, and you know, I couldn't help but as I watched the rally to think of the Jay Gould quote, the railroad magnate from the 1880s, who said, "I could easily pay half the working class to murder the other half." And I watched the people in that crowd going, yeah, that's the half you can hire to murder the other half. And you know, the kind of anger and fervor and just the raw outward emotion that came out of that this guy incites in these people. I now get, you know, those stories of people talking about, you know, the rise of the Third Reich and all of that. And I hate making that comparison, but I now get it.
I remember the very first show that I ever came on for you. And I like to bring this up because you shot me back. You know, we talked about this and I came on and I said that Donald Trump, I think I called him a literal Nazi. And you said, whoa, let's not go there yet. You know, but that is everything about this, from, you know, Gorka to, you know, Stephen Miller to Trump and, you know, the Proud Boys and all the support and everything else that they've gone through and everything here. I mean, we can pretty much safely assume now and say that the Donald Trump and his administration, the Republican Party, has endorsed Nazis, and they have allowed them into the party on the front line in a very, you know, visible way. You know, I always wondered the same thing. I remember going through history class and wondering, what would I do in those times? You know, if I was alive during the Civil War, what side would I be on? If I was alive during World War II and everything was happening there with Germany and and Japan and everything, where would I be on the pages of history there? Would I sit home and would I ignore it? You know, civil rights. You know, you see black people getting beat in the streets and fire hoses and dogs in the 1960s. You know, where do you stand? You know, and in this election now, I can firmly understand now how we get to that level, how it gets that bad. Because I always wondered, like, what the hell? Like, how can you just sit around? How can you say nothing? You know, but people who I love, people that I'm close with, you know, tell me, like, about, you know, that Democrats only want to defund the police and they're doing this and everything else. And these are Democrats too sometimes. You know, so now I understand what happens. You know, the messaging and the propaganda starts to work, and, you know, the lies and the mistruths and everything else. And really what propaganda does is it exhausts your ability to critically think. That's what happens. And so where we're at in this country right now, we've spent the last 4 years straight up in a propaganda nightmare scenario, but really the last 12 years as well, from the time Obama got elected until this point, you know, in that same mentality, people and their ability to critically think is completely depleted at this moment. I mean, that's why fake news is running rampant. You can't tell the difference between what's real or what's fake. And they're attacking the fact checkers. They're attacking the media. They're attacking anybody who disagrees with them. And then, you know, if you're online, you're getting doxxed and you're getting your information leaked out on everything. So I get it and I understand how difficult this is, but on your side of it, you know, 50 years from now, people are going to look back at this and you're going to have to explain to your kids and your grandkids what you did here. Yeah. And what you were saying and what you were doing. I really hope to God that you're voting and registering people and on the front lines of pushing back on misinformation. And, you know, to borrow a line from my friend Doug Jones, you know, to be on the right side of history in this. Which, by the way, Rick, I want to give a little plug to this. Doug Jones voted against the Supreme Court nominee tonight, but he immediately voted against it as soon as the nomination came out. He deserves a little bit of credit, I think, for coming out swinging against that right away, especially because he's the only Southern Deep South senator that we have. You know, acts of courage, I think we need to talk about a little bit, too.
No, Doug Jones, somebody who really profile and courage, somebody who, you know, I said I didn't think he had much of a chance of winning back when he did, and I'm hopeful today that, that, you know, come election time, he's still the senator from Alabama, because we most certainly need his voice and his vision. But here's the thing, you know, you go back to, you know, asking the question of, you know, what would you do at that moment? And we've all seen the picture of the Nazis all doing the salute thing, and there's the one guy who's got his arms folded. And I always thought that I would be that guy. And, you know, it's these kind of times that make you decide which side of this bit of history are you going to be on. So you're absolutely right. But let me ask you this, because you're my go-to expert for all things digital. Leslie Stahl had, you know, asked about, you know, why do you say all the hateful things you do? Why do you put all the tweets out? And Trump said, look, you know, that's how I get out to people. I believe he is, you know, masterful at propaganda. I believe he's masterful at messaging. And I think the right is kicking the snot out of the left, even though they then turn it around and go, oh, they're so far ahead of us. Can you give us an assessment of where you see the political parties in the digital world?
Oh boy, yeah, I will. A lot of my Democrat friends out there aren't going to like this, but we are a grain of sand compared to what the Republicans are doing on the beach here. You know, the resistance and the grassroots out there and the amplification, you know, in the last year, you know, organizations and people that I've worked with, we've gotten over 200 billion impressions for candidates. We've gotten over 250 million video impressions. Our video views, we raised, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, throughout trying to amplify on social media. Just in one hashtag campaign, we did over $700,000 in, you know, basically an economic value of free work, volunteer work on just one hashtag campaign. So we're doing very well, but we, the Democratic Party at large, we don't have a structure in place that the Republicans do, up, down, top, center, everywhere. You know, I mean, they even created a cult, you know, the Q, and, you know, and are pushing that. They basically took propaganda and what ISIS was doing in 2012 and utilized that information warfare against their own citizens in this. And that's how they've been able to push meme warfare and doing a lot of this stuff. So we are nowhere near where the Republicans are in the sophistication that we need to be on online organizing. You know, we're still getting to the place where we understand paid digital and doing email correctly. And you guys are getting emails that are like mystery donor unlock, whatever, you know, like we are nowhere near where they are in the level of sophistication in terms of grassroots, you know, all the way up to the White House and back and forth and in between. On our side of it, every candidate is doing their own social media and their own digital. There isn't a central place or a hub for everybody out there to get their information from the party. Rick, I'm sure you see this. There's no surrogate program, you know, for shows like yours to get, you know, Democrats on, I think, a lot of the time. We have a lot of things we got to fix going into this. If Joe Biden wins, I truly hope that he's going to be putting people in charge who are going to be pushing back on a lot of this stuff and making repairs that need to get done. We are so far out of date behind Republicans and what they're doing. Right now, just about every weekend, they're training college kids to what they call own the libs. Democrats aren't doing anything of the sort. Our training programs are teaching people how to tweet while they're teaching people how to destroy people. You know, this is what we're fighting against. You know, you have Richard Spencer in the right online talking about how to do this and beating up on Democrats. You know, obviously, Perscale was a big piece of this before he got tanked out of it. But, you know, then you have Jacob Wall and all these characters that are connected straight to the White House. They're connected straight to every senator out there. There's an organization. There's a central place that they're getting all this stuff from. They're very organized and they're very good at this.
And
we are not. We are nowhere near close yet. Yeah. And they're funded, and they're funded all the way through, and they pay people what they're worth. I'm not going to try to trash the Democrats. I know that we're getting there. I know that, you know, this has been a big campaign, and I can say that we have gone huge amounts of miles in this election to get closer to it, but we still have, you know, a galaxy away to get to where our destination is going to be.
Yeah, my aim of asking that question is not to beat up the Democrats, but to point out that we got work to do. I mean, it's my fear is that, you know, come January 20th at 12:01 p.m., Joe Biden's going to take the oath. We're going to inaugurate a new president, and everyone's going to do what they did on January 20th at 12:01 in 2009. We won. Time to go home and drop out. And for me, that's the moment that the real work begins. And how do we undo the damage that's been done and simultaneously move us forward?
Well, I mean, it's a very simple thing. And you're hitting the nail right on the head. The greatest fear, and historically in midterms, the president is going to get the rear end handed to him. You know, that's there's always a pendulum swing that goes the other way on these things. You know, and if the Democrats are complacent, we're going to lose everything. You guys think this was bad. Joe Biden getting in here, they'll impeach him. You get the Republicans in 2 years and you give them Senate power and House power, they're going to impeach Joe Biden for nothing. They're going to run all kinds of crazy crap. Like, we have reached a whole different level of this. We need to beat them all the way through to the point where they're never allowed to hold office again. Like, if you think that Joe Biden winning or your favorite senator winning in this election is the end of this thing, you are dead wrong. This is the beginning of this thing. And it's just starting now. And how do we keep that going? How do we change the world? How do we keep doing this? We have to keep organizing. On January 20th, if you think that this is over, then everything we worked for in the last 4 years, you need to remove your name from. Because basically you quit right when it started. This is just the beginning of what we need to do. But I will say this, Rick, we were talking about inspiration before we got on this thing. I think we're gonna do it. I think that we're gonna be there. I'm not seeing a lot of people out there in the resistance or on social media or in the grassroots or any of that are saying, I'm gonna quit after this. I'm seeing people out there who are saying, what's next? How are we gonna do 2022? You gotta remember, this is a brand now. The Democrats, they have created, you know, activism for themselves. They have relationships with friends, and this is what we do now. We are activated. We are fighting for causes that we believe in. We aren't just taking this laying down, but here's the other piece of this. All these kids are more pissed off than you and me are. Every single one of them, their high school has been ruined. Their college has been ruined. Shootings, shooting drills, everything that's happening, the pandemic, all of it. Like, and they're more left than you and me will ever be. And it's going to continue going this way all the way through. That's the trend. And so it's really going to be, you know, coming down to this, what kind of leadership are we going to offer our kids and the future here? And I have a really good feeling that, you know, we're not done yet. I don't even think we've gotten started yet. I think the Republicans are only going to be on the run.
Good stuff. David, I appreciate the time. As always, good stuff, man.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate you.
Yeah, you have a great one. Our good friend, David Yankovich. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.